Hello, and welcome to Comic Book Rundown, the podcast that talks about comic book story arcs. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is Emily.
Hi, everybody.
As you know, first time on the podcast, we like to get people's backgrounds, comic book backgrounds. Would you mind giving everybody yours?
My comic book background is minimal to none. To be honest, I do not read a lot of comics.
That's fair. Typically,
I've read more Marvel than DC, so of course you gave me a DC book to read. I'm also really, and this falls under the Marvel tree as well, but I've been really into some of the Star Wars comics that have been coming out. They're just doing some really good stuff over there.
They really are.
So, but you gave me a DC book to read.
You sound happy with that.
I have feelings. Emotions.
Okay.
Reactions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yeah. It's good. Okay. They'll come out in the natural flow of conversation.
Quotation marks natural.
Don't worry about it.
As I sip
my pumpkin spice coffee.
With your finger up. All right. Speaking of DC, the story we are doing today is the new Teen Titans, the Judas Contract.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was written in 1984, and it covers the issues New Teen Titans 39 and 40, and then it switches over to Tales of the Teen Titans 41 through 44, and then we'll also have annual number 3. It was written by Marv Wolfman. Pencils were done by George Perez. Inks were done by Dick Girardino. Thank you. Mike.
You're Italian. How can you not pronounce that last name? Sorry, go ahead.
Could keep that in there. It's great. Mike DiCarlo. Romeo Tangal.
Tangal. You're pretty.
Thanks. And George Perez. Colors were done by Adri. You know what?
I've got you all messed up now. I'm so sorry.
Yes, you do. Thank you. Colors were done by
Adrienne Roy and Anthony Tolan.
Okay.
Are your colorists. Ben Oda, John Costanza, Todd Klein, and Bob Lappin are your letterers. You're welcome. Drink your beer.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right.
Now,
okay. You gave me a trade to read. I know you read yours digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Did yours come with the introductions for the trade?
The one I got is from the library, and yes, it did have that. I just straight skipped over it.
Okay, sure. Actually, George Perez gets two introductions in this. No, he doesn't. He writes the longer one.
Mm-hmm.
Marv Wolfman has a nice intro, but George Perez's intro is a lot of tea spilled because he's writing this intro 5 years after they had done these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking back and he's like, you know, honestly, at the time, X-Men had just come out with Kitty Pryde and we wanted to do it too. So we did. But we knew we were going to kill her the whole time. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So you just made this woman to kill her. Cool.
I actually read a article/interview on Twitter from 13th Dimension where they interviewed Marv Wolfman. Same thing. They were talking about they were out at dinner talking about how they were going to. Oh, is that what they say there? And then they basically ended up at the end of dinner. They're like, yeah, we just literally just talked about killing a teenager. Cool.
Well, and it's different. It's a different vibe of killing a teenager than, like, say, Jason Todd, because Jason Todd, the fans voted for that.
Yeah.
So
although I think the fans. I've got some more things to talk about that when
I get into the
death of the family, which I love that
one. It's a good story. Don't get me wrong.
It is.
But it was just interesting to hear them straight up say, no, we knew we needed a teenage girl because Marvel was doing it too. We just wanted to do it a little different.
Well, and as much as they're in competition now, back then they were still in competition. But they also shared everybody. Like,
well, yeah,
a writer wanted to go write for Marvel for a day, so he walked over the street to Marvel.
Yeah. Their lineups were more fluid.
Yes.
Back then.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so as we start out this first issue, we see the Teen Titans. They're in Alaska. And they apparently are attacking this military base that looks a lot like almost U.S. military, but it turns out to be a base for Brother Blood.
Yeah, it reminded me of, like, in Die Hard 3, the third Die Hard, when they come rolling through pretending to be Americans. And, like they look American. They can even sound American, but, like, they're not American. Yeah.
Or, what was it, Godzilla?
Godzilla had to go to... Yeah, no, yeah. Just chew bubblegum.
Yeah. Hey, it worked. They all just let them roll through. But so, what we have here is all the Titans fighting these military men. Raven has a ominous feeling in a room that they can't get to, like, doors closed. So she pops over. Wally sees her basically going through dimensions to get to the other side. So he goes vibrating through the wall to follow. And everybody, the rest of the Titans are like, well, where's Raven? Where's Flash? And what was it? Gar says he saw...
Speedfeet.
Yeah, they all have names. Ugh. A little code names.
Names for code names. You're killing me, y'all.
run through the door chasing after Raven. So they enlist Starfire to blast through the wall. And so they go rushing into the room without actually searching for traps.
Yeah, no. Or if they did search for traps, they rolled a one. Because,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy, it does not work out for them. Who would have seen that coming? Definitely got literally locked into everybody. An electric grid, like an energy field grid, mm-hmm. cage that has them all trapped. And, oh no, we are trapped.
Everybody but Changeling, because he apparently went to the size of a fly.
Teacher, may I ask a question?
Sure.
So, obviously I'm not well-versed in DC. What's the transition from Changeling to Beast Boy, name-wise?
In the last issues last Teen Titans ones we did, we had explained that he stopped being Beast Boy because he wanted to, how do you put it? He paid to have his name changed because he was Beast Boy when he was with Doom Patrol.
Oh, okay.
Once the Doom Patrol died,
mm-hmm.
he, air quotes, died because they come back.
Good comics.
Yeah. He had his adopted father pay a buttload of money to change his name from Beast Boy to Changeling. So he is, right now, he's trying to stick with the Changeling persona.
Okay. So basically Doom Patrol just had the trademark on the name?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I think it was more of, so what had happened with going back to Doom Patrol, Mento and Elastic Woman adopted Gar.
Okay.
I'm thinking he wanted to not use Beast Boy's, the name Beast Boy, to distance himself from the memories, because by this point, a last woman has died. So his mom died, and he wants to... this is all hearsay, because I haven't read Doom Patrol. I need to, because I know they're good. He's just trying to get to the point where he doesn't, I think, remember. So, and I'm probably wrong.
Like, new team, new me, new haircut, new me, basically. New name, new me.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, he is currently Changeling, and I don't want to say we'll forever be Changeling, because he goes back to Beast Boy at some point. Don't know when. But so, to get out of the energy grid, Gar changes into Electric Eel to help ground everybody.
That does not seem scientifically accurate, but, I mean, hashtag comics. Carry on.
It works, apparently. Sure. Because, you know, 1980s, they didn't think about that, right? Right?
Sure. Sure. Listen, Magneto just moves everything. Because magnets.
Okay. But it gets them, it shorts out the energy grid, and then the Titans are able to basically put a kibosh on whatever plans the
Blood Friends?
Yeah.
Blood Clan.
Brother Blood's acolytes.
Brother Blood's brood.
I'm going to let you have that because you're really proud of that.
Thank you.
They stop them. And so now they're cleaning up the mess and trying to find the information that was given to them by Bethany Snow. All the while, we see Tara is just watching on. She's got a contact lens camera that Deathstroke gave her.
Yes.
And is to help spy on the Titans.
Do you think her eyeball makes a little noise every time she blinks? Like...
Nope, I don't think so. All
right.
They would have put that in...
That's what I want that. I read that way in my head, though.
So then the next couple panels we get is just them talking away, finding this storeroom of guns that were going to be sent to Zandia. And it's all... got all these elected officials' faces plastered on, like...
on the weapons cache?
There we go. Thank you.
So, what you're saying is that bad guys have money into political elections in order to influence global politics?
In the 1980s, sure.
Weird. Never heard of it.
Nope.
Such a novel concept. Carry on.
Can't roll my eyes hard enough for that one.
No, can we... okay, so let's talk about... we're seeing all this information come out, it's from Tara's eyeball camera.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara and Slade Wilson, also known as the Terminator.
Deathstroke
the Terminator. Mm-hmm. They're just chillaxing in his lair. And you can tell that she's in her bad girl persona. Which, I'm going to go ahead and say it's her actual normal self. Because she's got blue eyeshadow. She's got a V cut, like, down past her belly button, which,
No, it's just a robe. That's like a bathrobe.
Sure. But what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is very heavily implying that Slade Wilson is having sex with a 16-year-old. Am I reading this correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
They are lovers, yes.
Because that's weird, even in the 80s. Like, that's weird, that's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. No, welcome to my TED Talk about the use of makeup and hair on females in comics. In this 47-slide deck PowerPoint presentation, we're going to discuss blue eyeshadow and red lipstick. Let's go.
Don't forget the smoking.
Oh, yeah. You can
she's evil because she's smoking.
She's evil because she's smoking. She's evil because she's expressing her opinions. And I'm reading, like, I love, the one thing I did like about this book is the difference in Tara's voice depending on where she is.
Yes.
Like, when she's with the Titans and they're fighting Brother Blood's people, it's like, yeah, well, if it weren't for me, you'd be Daisy Fertilizer. And then you cut to her over in her low-cut robe with her well over 50-year-old lover, maybe? Not
no,
sure.
No. He's, like, in his 40s.
16. When your daughter's 16, do you...
Stop. Nope. Okay. Not even answering that one.
Okie dokie. But it's just, she's got this voice. She's like, by the way, your contact lens camera's not too shabby. You'd make a fortune selling them to spies. Like, even though the lettering is still the same size and shape, like, there's just this change
yeah.
to her voice. The tone of her voice mm-hmm. is just totally different.
Yeah. No, and I agree. It's they were showing you that this is her true self. When she's with Titans, she's acting.
Yeah.
And even later on, in a couple of issues, when they start having some touching moments, she's still acting.
Mm-hmm.
And she's damn good at it.
Is she?
Maybe she's not damn good at it, but more of a, they're just ignorant to it.
Okay, and maybe I saw through it a little harder because reading that introduction, and George Perez was like, yeah, no, she's going to be a liar. We knew from the start she was going to be a liar. So well, I knew from the start she was going to be a liar.
Well, and I know that too coming into it because I knew about the story. I've never read it, but I knew about the story. It was a big old point in some of the I'm not going to say current issues. Blackest Night sticks out in my mind because when all the dead come back to life, Tara is one that comes back to Gar.
Yeah.
And it's a big old conniption.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
But as we continue on, Deathstroke and Tara are just kind of throwing quips around, and then it gets to the point where he basically challenges her to make sure she's not going soft. So they decide to go out into the mountainside outside their cabin.
They have a training room scene, but outside.
Yeah. And because her powers are Earth-based, so obviously Earth is going to be better for her.
Be a lot to clean up inside anyways.
Well, that's fair. Unlike, you know, the X-Men that have a danger room that's all holographic and...
Yeah, exactly. You know. It's a lot better. Sorry, go ahead, what?
So they start battling, and Terra is keeping Deathstroke on his toes. He made mention that when they started this exercise years ago, they always wanted to fight to the death because that will keep them on their toes. But he's barely keeping ahead of her, to the point where had she not let up on the attack, she probably would have killed him. But he wasn't going to admit that because this Deathstroke.
He straight up says, blast her. Doesn't she realize without me, she won't accomplish her goals?
I mean, yeah, but... Well, I'm pretty sure she could have without him, but...
Yeah. Yeah. We don't all need a sugar daddy.
But she's also... She has put Deathstroke on this pedestal that she needs to have him.
Mm-hmm.
In order for her to succeed.
She thinks she does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which she, obviously she doesn't.
Right.
We know that. But she thinks she does.
Deathstroke doesn't know that.
I think he's starting to see it though.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay, so he basically informs her that she should get back to the Titan's Tower to play the cute girl superhero. And so she does. She leaves to go back to the tower. On their way to the tower, she sees the Titan's barge heading to the tower, and she sees this guy dressed up in, you know, normal clothes on the way there, and she's like, well, who are you? How did you activate this barge? And find out that it's Kid Flash in his civvy clothes, and basically tells Terra that he's gonna make an announcement to everybody, and she puts it together real quick what the announcement is of him quitting. And as soon as he walks in, everybody else is like, you know, Kid Flash, why are you dressed like that? And he's like, well, I already told Terra who I am. Like, we were good. That's what this whole meeting was for anyway, to introduce her into the team. And he also points out that he is going to retire from being Kid Flash. He's done. He's not doing so hot. He says here he's losing his speed. And also, everything that happened with Raven previously has just kind of put him in a bad place. So he is going to... He's giving them his ring with his costume in it. And be like, here, you know, give it to the new Kid Flash. Give it to Teen Titans Archives. I don't care. Just, I'm done. And this is... I have to check the Flash issues, but I'm pretty sure... This is his last appearance as Kid Flash, and he does not come back until Crisis,
mm-hmm.
when Jay Garrick asks him to come back to help find Barry.
Well, and in the intros, Marv Wolfman was talking about, well, and I think George Perez mentions it too, about they knew they wanted to make new Teen Titans,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to make a new team. Their only concerns were Robin and Kid Flash. Because Robin is so integrally tied to Batman that it's hard to keep him on a team as Robin.
Yes.
And then with Kid Flash, same thing. Kid Flash is so well known. He overpowers the dynamic of the team.
Yeah.
So all here in this first issue, we get Kid Flash turning in his ring. Cut to immediately after that, Robin is standing Captain Morgan style at the window, talking to the window like a good soap opera should. And he's like, it's time for me as well to turn in my persona as well. I've grown past the kid Robin. I'm no longer that kid. I'm a man now. I need my own life. I need my own thing. And everyone's like, you're leaving too? Like, they're all tear-struck, like, Starfire's, like, just on the verge of tears.
Yeah, because he hadn't talked to her about
Yeah,
it.
God forbid you would speak to your partner about major life changes.
Here, listen, hold on. Linda, listen. They were...
Linda, listen me.
They were... the last couple of issues, like, he's been the straight-up dick to her and
Dick's,
everybody.
Dick's been a dick?
Dick's been a dick, yeah. He stopped being a dick, actually. Like,
okay,
this,
good.
This issue, and it all came about because he was living in Batman's shadow. Anytime Batman's around, it's Batman and
right.
Robin, not just Robin, leader of Teen Titans.
Right.
So he was in that mindset of, I've got to get out from under him. How do I do that? I can't when I'm Robin.
Right.
So he was being a dick to everybody, and obviously that's a problem.
Emotionally uncoupling.
Thank you.
No, and so, you know, he starts stripping, basically, taking off his costume.
Tara was all excited about
that. Tara was ready to throw some ones at him. and he's like, no, I'm going to be here. I need to work on me. It's not you, it's me.
Well, another interesting fact about him stripping away the Robin costume and the Robin persona, over in Batman, at this time, Jason Todd's coming in. Well, Jason Todd was already there.
Yeah.
He was already living with Bruce Wayne. He was not Robin officially.
Right.
He had actually taken the Robin costume a couple times and went out as Robin. And then after the same month this one was published, over in Batman, Dick Grayson officially hands him the Robin costume. Like, okay, you're
nice.
Robin. The other twist of this all is, before Crisis, Jason Todd was a redhead.
Uh-huh.
And so he had to wear a wig when he went out as Robin.
Oh, God.
They retconned that after Crisis, so.
Which is good, because we'll get into Dick's wig here in an issue or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
good.
The one thing I do want to point out, though, is as, you know, when Wally was saying his goodbyes, everybody's like, oh, no, sorry, what? Okay, we understand, like, you can come back whenever you want. The minute Dick is saying, I'm going to leave, no, you can't do that, we need you, Wally felt like shit.
Yeah,
it just,
well.
Is, and but he has been.
But isn't that, like, how Kid Flash is typically treated?
I guess back then, yes.
Okay.
Because the Kid Flashes later on, I'm not going to say get better, but definitely treated a little better.
Yeah. Well, and of course, Deathstroke's watching all this through Tara's cam.
Mm-hmm.
And, we wrap up in the epilogue with Dick and, is her name, did they say?
Coriander.
Coriander?
Yeah.
Like cilantro, but Coriander.
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 Like, apostrophe
yeah.
R. But everybody calls her Cori or Starfire.
Yeah. So, like, Dick and Starfire are there. Wally's there. Who is this blonde girl that they meet?
Frances Kane. She shows up in Terra Incognito.
Okay.
She has got magnetic powers. And she was Wally's ex-girlfriend. And down the line, she becomes a Flash villain.
Nice.
Flash being Wally.
Yeah. Well, exes will do that to you.
Yep. but we end the issue with Corey and Dick just, you know, watching them go. And Dick making the comment that he's really going to miss him. Because, like I said, he does not show up again. As far as I know, my understanding, he does not show up again in the Teen Titans for years.
Yeah.
And even by then, he's Flash. So.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you like listening to Emily, please check out What's in the Queue on iTunes and Stitcher. They are a podcast that talks about documentaries. And you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching What's in the Queue. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send us emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the next chapter of this Teen Titans story arc.